less he gave me everything. He was an all or nothing for me. I moved to the couch, and Chase took the wine from my hand, setting it on the table. He wrapped his arms around me and pulled my body close against his. I could barely breathe, he held me so tight. Yet it felt so good to be back in his arms. So right.
I'm so sorry, Reese. So sorry I hurt you,
he mumbled into my hair. After a long time, he pulled back so we could face each other. His eyes searched mine, looking for something. Assurance, maybe? Finding whatever he needed, he cleared his throat and spoke softly.
When I was 12, I bought an old Swiss Army knife at a garage sale. Carried the thing with me for years.
He paused and looked down. Taking my right hand in his, he ran his thumb over my scar repeatedly. When he looked back up at me, there were tears in his eyes.
I gave it to Eddie, the homeless guy Peyton was trying to help.
His voice broke.
I thought he could use it to defend himself in an emergency.
The pain in his voice was unbearable. I wanted to do something to soothe him, bring him comfort, but I knew he needed to get it out. It wasn't just a hurdle for our relationship, it was a monumental step for his healing. And I wanted that more than anything. I squeezed his hand and gave him a small nod.
All these years, we thought it was a group of teenagers beating up on homeless people who killed Peyton. That she was caught in the crossfire of an attack on Eddie.
He took a deep breath in and released it with a whoosh.
It wasn't. It was Eddie who killed her.
He looked down and squeezed my hand. Then his eyes came back to mine.
With the knife I gave him. It was my knife that killed her.
I might not have been the one cut, but I felt gutted nonetheless. Tears streamed down my face. I left the door open, and my brother can't hear. Chase wiped my tears with his thumbs as he took my face in his hands.
It's not your fault.
I looked into his eyes. It's not yours either. Hours later, I was physically and emotionally exhausted. Once the cork had come out of the bottle, Chase completely opened up. We talked more about Peyton and Eddie, and I told him details of the night Owen and I had walked in on our home being robbed. I admitted things to him that I'd barely even admitted to myself. How the guilt had affected me, and how I'd gone through bouts of depression growing up. It was important for him to know he wasn't alone, and I didn't expect him to heal overnight. I'd just gone to the bathroom, answered a concerned FaceConnect video call from my brother, whom I'd forgotten to text, and come back to sit on the couch. Before my ass hit the pillow, Chase grabbed me and pulled me into his lap. The smile on his face was beautiful and real. He pressed his lips together, then leaned his forehead against mine.
Would you really have gone to Chicago?
Chicago? For what?
Pink Cosmetics? The job you applied for?
I furrowed my brow. I have no idea what you're talking about. I didn't apply for a job with Pink. Actually, I haven't applied anywhere. I have money saved and decided to take a little time off before making any career decisions. I'm kicking around starting my own small marketing firm with my friend Jules, who you met. We talked about it last year before I left Fresh Look, and I wasn't ready. But it sort of feels right now. I paused. What made you think I was going to move to Chicago?
They called for a reference.
That's odd. Chase closed his eyes and chuckled, shaking his head.
Sam.
Sam?
I never actually spoke to them. Sam told me they'd called for a reference as I was getting ready to leave the other day.
I don't understand.
She was lighting a fire under my ass. Knew it would push me to get over my issues.
Oh, and here I thought it was my hot date that pushed you over the edge.
I almost lost it at the Italian place, watching him put his hands all over your face.
My eyes widened. You followed me?
Just tonight. I was going crazy watching you go out with that guy again. Do you remember what you told me last week before you stopped speaking to me?
Of course I do. What?
That you were going to bring some guy home and open the window so I could listen. He swatted my ass playfully. You have a cruel streak in you, Buttercup.
I started to crack up and quickly found myself lifted into the air and then flat on my back. Chase hovered over me, grabbing my hands and pinning them above my head.
You think this is funny?
I do, actually. He rubbed his nose against mine and whispered.
You wouldn't really have slept with him, would you?
Most definitely not, but that has nothing to do with you. Chase pulled his head back and pouted. It was adorable.
It's not because you're so into me you couldn't possibly touch another man?
Well, that's true in general, but my date tonight was my brother, Owen.
Chase dropped his head and laughed. Are you serious?
I am. What you saw in the Italian restaurant, him touching my face, I was humming a song to him.
Well, then I guess I had nothing to worry about after all,
Chase whispered against my lips.
Although you never know, you're about to get fucked by your favorite cousin.
Oh, am I? Chase's normal, cocky confidence had been back, but it suddenly faltered.
Can you forgive me?
He asked.
I promise not to push you away again and to do everything in my power to protect you.
There's only one thing I need you to guard for me.
Name it.
You have my heart. Promise me you'll keep it safe.
Only if you promise never to give mine back.
My heart had been beating his name since that first night at the restaurant. He'd never have to worry about me giving his heart back because I'd realized that somewhere, deep down, it was mine to keep, even when he hadn't figured it out yet. Make love to me, Chase. He reached back with one hand and tugged his shirt over his head.
I'm going to, but not now. I promise, slow and sweet making love to you later, showing you how I feel with my body. But right now, all this talk about you leaving me and being with another man has me feeling territorial.
He raised up on his knees and looked down at me. The way his eyes raked over my body was really all the foreplay I needed.
I want to come inside of you. Can I do that, Reese?
I swallowed. Yes, I'm on the pill.
Good. I don't want anything between us anymore. Not our pasts, not our secrets, or even a damn piece of latex.
Okay. He trailed his knuckles down the side of my body over my dress, following my curves languidly.
First, I'm going to bury my face in that pussy I've missed so much until you come all over my face.
He reached the bareskin of my thighs, and his hand disappeared under the skirt of my dress. I gasped when I felt him cup me between the legs.
Then I'm going to fuck you hard and fast, bury myself so deep inside of you that my cum won't come out for days.
He lifted the skirt of my dress, pushed my panties to the side, and ran two fingers down the length of me. He groaned.
So wet.
I watched him as he stared, mesmerized as one finger slipped inside of me. After a few strokes, he added a second finger and pumped harder and faster. I nearly came when he licked his lips. I can't take it anymore. When his fingers left me and he brought them to his mouth, licking and sucking, my body began to hum. Chase! Suddenly he lowered himself and his mouth was on me. Guiding my legs over his shoulders, he lifted my ass to position me where he wanted. I moaned when he flattened his tongue and licked his way up to my clit. When he sucked hard and nearly made me finish, even though we'd barely started, I wriggled around trying to move him from that spot. Chase gripped my thighs, holding me in place as he devoured me, taking me at his own pace, alternating between his tongue inside of me and sucking hard on my clit. My orgasm hit so hard, I saw nothing but black as it washed over me. By the time my vision cleared, Chase was back on his knees as he undid his pants. His cock was so swollen, it bulged against the material, making it difficult to pull down the zipper. It was my turn to lick my lips. He buried his head in my neck and began to suck hard on the sensitive skin below my ear, mimicking what he'd just done to my clit.
"I'm going to apologize now because this isn't going to be easy,"
he said.
"I have no restraint left when it comes to you."
"Do it. I want it that way. All I've ever wanted was you. As is." Chase didn't have to be asked twice. He aligned his incredibly swollen head with my opening and covered my mouth with his as he pushed himself inside. Kissing me like I was the air he needed to breathe, he seated himself deep inside of me. I could feel his body shake as he waited for my muscles to relax around him. Then, he began to move, really move, pulling almost all the way out and slamming back in over and over again. My nails dug into his back as my body greedily clenched down around him. Each time he withdrew, made me want him more and more until my body was begging for climax.
"Fuck, Reese."
He pulled back enough to look at me.
"I want to fill your body with my cum. Every part of you. Your pussy, your mouth, your ass. I want to own it all."
I was helpless as pleasure crashed through me. I heard myself calling his name, but it was more like an out-of-body experience as I throbbed all around him. Distantly, I heard Chase grumble a string of curses as he sank into me deep. Then I felt his amazing body shudder as he released. Later, my head rested on his chest while I listened to his heartbeat. He stroked my hair as we lay content and sated.
"I really am sorry for the last few weeks," he said. "I acted like a total asshole."
I looked up at him, resting my chin on my hand above his heart. "You did. But it's okay. I forgive you." "Well, you'll be making it up to me for a long time, but my heart has already absolved your sins." I was joking, of course, but Chase responded seriously.
"Thank you."
I yawned. "So,
it was good old-fashioned jealousy that made you come to your senses, huh?"
"If I'd known that, I would have taken Owen out on a hot date weeks ago and saved us both a headache."
"Actually, seeing you with another man might have pushed me over the edge, but it was something else that made me realize what you meant to me."
"Oh? What was that?"
"It was a poster. It said, 'Don't focus on the what-ifs. Focus on the what-is.'"
"Meaning, focus on what you have and not what could have been." He nodded.
"Exactly."
I dropped a kiss directly over his heart, nervous to ask the question, but needing to know the answer. "What do we have, Chase?" He pulled me up so we were eye to eye.
"Everything."
Epilogue. Reese. Nearly 1 year later. I wondered if he knew what today was. Chase didn't see me immediately when he walked into the restaurant. I was seated in the corner of the bar, partially concealed by a couple sitting at a pub table. I stole the moment to appreciate the beauty of the man without him knowing I was looking. My man. I didn't think I'd ever get used to how incredibly handsome he was. You know how after a while, even the most amazing things become familiar, and you start to forget that the sight once took your breath away. Shiny things lose their luster in our eyes, even though they still sparkle. Yeah, well, that never happened to me with Chase Parker. Even after a year to the day, he still took my breath away and sparkled every moment. I watched as his sharp eyes scanned the room. For a second, I considered shifting in my seat to hide, just so I could take more time to appreciate him properly. My soon-to-be live-in boyfriend was the epitome of tall, dark, and handsome. He was well aware of it, too. His cocky, self-assured attitude only added to the list of things that made him attractive. Factor in wealthy, brilliant, and exceptional in bed. Not to mention in his office, in the car, on the kitchen floor, on top of the washing machine, and most recently on the conference room table in my new office space. And it was no wonder the hostess was currently frothing at the mouth as she vied for his attention. Finding me across the room, his gorgeous face softened, and he gave me the sexy, dimpled smile I knew was only for me. He strode across the restaurant, completely zoned in on his intended target. Goosebumps littered my arms as I watched his determined face. Reaching me, he said nothing, instead greeting me the way he frequently did when we went more than a day without seeing each other. Winding my hair around his hand, he gave it a soft tug and took my mouth in a deep kiss that wasn't really appropriate for a restaurant bar, although that would never stop him. I was still lightheaded when he pulled away and spoke in a strained voice.
"Next time, I'm going with you."
"You could have come this time, I told you that."
"You also told me you would be gone 2 days, not 5.
I just returned from California this afternoon. Jules and I had expected to be in San Diego for 2 nights to pitch a new client. But after we signed that new account, the VP of marketing offered to get us an appointment with a sister company in Los Angeles. So our 2-day trip wound up being a full 5. I can't help it if people want us.
People want you right here. The line forms behind me.
The bartender came by to take our drink order, just as an older couple walked up next to us.
"Are these seats taken?"
the man asked. There were 2 seats open next to me at the bar. Chase answered,
"All yours. I'm going to stand so I keep close to her anyway."
The older woman gave him a smile that said he'd just melted her heart a little. I knew, because I wore the same one. She took the seat to my left, and her husband sat beside her.
"I'm Opal, and this is my husband, Henry."
"Nice to meet you. I'm Reese. This is Chase."
"Today is our 40th wedding anniversary."
"Wow. Congratulations, 40 years? That's pretty amazing," I said.
"How long have you two been married?"
"Oh, we're not..." Chase interrupted.
"Married anywhere as long as you, but today is our anniversary as well. 5 years of wedded bliss."
I looked at him incredulously, although I'm not sure why I was surprised. I knew of his penchant for stories, and today was our anniversary, of sorts. 1 year ago today, we'd sat in this restaurant together. Only the last time, my date had been Martin Ward, and Chase had been the date crasher. It seemed like a lifetime ago. Just as I'd done that fateful night, I propped my elbows, folded my hands, and rested my chin atop them. Yes, 5 years ago today. You should tell them the story of how you proposed, sweetheart. It's a really good one. I smiled sweetly and batted my eyelashes. Of course, Chase being Chase, he wasn't at all freaked out that I just put him in the hot seat. Instead, he looked pleased that I was playing along. He stood behind me and squeezed my shoulders.
Mrs. Parker is sentimental, so I took her to the place we first met for dinner. I had been planning to propose to her for a while, but she was busy with her new company, so the right time never presented itself. We just found out that she was pregnant, and I decided, right time or not, I was going to pop the question.
My mouth hung open. Not because he was weaving yet another crazy, tall tale, but because he couldn't possibly know the irony of the story he was telling. The afternoon before I'd left for California, I had found out I was pregnant. I just hadn't had a chance to tell him yet, and here he was, making it up as part of his crazy story. I decided I had to add to his tale. It would be fun later when he found out that my addition to his story wasn't fiction like his. Taking his hand, I brought it to my stomach. We're actually expecting another child now. Chase smiled, pleased I was playing along, and rubbed my tummy as he continued.
Anyway, when we first got together, she made us keep it a secret because I was her boss. I'm a little territorial when it comes to the missus, and that never sat right with me. But then she went and quit on me. That's a whole other story, and started her own successful company. So I figured it was okay to make a public statement. While she wasn't paying attention, I had all of our friends and family slip into the restaurant. You see, back then, before the first two kids came, she was still googly-eyed over me. People could come and go, and she didn't notice most of the time when we were together.
Opal smiled.
I don't think that's changed. I see the way she's looking at you right now. Your wife is still pretty smitten.
Chase looked at me.
I'm one hell of a lucky guy.
So, you proposed in front of all your friends and family in the restaurant where you had your first date? That's beautiful,
Opal said.
Henry wasn't quite as romantic. He was about to get on the bus to go for his second tour in the army, and he asked me if I wanted to get hitched. Didn't even have a ring.
Considering it's been 40 years, I'm thinking it all worked out pretty well anyway. I looked up at Chase. It's not the proposal that's important. It's the man you spend the next 40 years with. I would have been happy with any proposal from this crazy man.
Chase grumbled. Now you tell me.
The hostess came to tell Opal and Henry their table was ready and said ours would be just a few more minutes. It was nice meeting you, Opal. Henry, I told them. I hope you have a great anniversary.
You too, dear.
After they disappeared, Chase kissed me again.
I missed you,
he groaned into my mouth. I missed you too.
You should come back and work for me. I like having you in the office every day.
You like having me on your desk, you mean?
That too. But the place isn't the same without you.
I saw your new billboard on my way over. It came out great. A week after we got back together, Chase had painted over the existing Parker Industries ad that had been on the building across the street from his office for years. We'd never spoken about him changing it, but I knew it was monumental that he'd gotten rid of an ad featuring Peyton. This week, while I was away, an image from his new ad campaign had finally been put up over it. Although I wasn't the one who'd created the final ad, I'd been part of the ground floor brainstorming on that campaign, and it warmed me to know a piece of me was up there now where he could see it from his office. He was truly moving on. That's why, when we were cleaning out his place to make room for some of my stuff, and I noticed Peyton's guitar had been packed away, I'd insisted he keep it out. She was part of his life, part of the man he was today. I didn't want to replace those memories. I wanted to make new ones with him, be part of the dreams that freed him from the nightmares. Eventually, the hostess came and told us our table was ready, and we followed her back to the dining room. "Is this the right table?" she asked as we arrived at the same spot where we'd been seated a year ago tonight. Chase looked to me.
"It is. Right, Buttercup?"
I was touched he actually remembered. "You know it was exactly a year ago we sat here, right?"
"I do."
He pulled out my chair before taking his seat. We both sat exactly where we had on that first night.
"Do you remember which table I was sitting at before I moved to yours?"
Chase asked.
"I do."
My eyes searched across the restaurant, and I pointed, remembering that night. "You and your date were sitting right over..." I squinted. Sure, my eyes were playing tricks on me. "Right over... Wait, is that... Oh my God, is that Owen?" My brother smiled, held up a champagne glass, and tilted it in my direction with a nod. Chase didn't turn around.
"It is."
There was no surprise at all in his voice. I looked at him, confused. He smiled mischievously.
"See anyone else you know?"
For the first time, I looked around the room, and it was as if all the faces suddenly came into focus. There were my parents, to the left, Chase's sister Anna and her family to the right. In fact, the entire restaurant was filled with our family and friends. My old boss Josh and his new wife Elizabeth. My best friend and business partner Jules and her boyfriend Christian. Travis, Lindsay, the entire Parker Industries marketing department. Chase leaned in and whispered,
"It really is my Aunt Opal and Uncle Henry's anniversary. That part was just a coincidence."
I was confused as hell. Why was everyone here? And why was everyone smiling and staring at me? My mind was a muddled mess. I couldn't even add 2 plus 2 and see that everyone was there for me. Until Chase stood. The restaurant, which had been a loud rumble, suddenly quieted. Everything after that happened in slow motion. All of our family and friends faded away as the man I loved got down on one knee. I heard and saw nothing but him.
"I had this whole thing to say, planned out in my head, but the minute I saw your face, I completely forgot every word. So I'm just going to wing it here. Reese Elizabeth Ansley. Since the first time I laid eyes on you on that bus in middle school, I've been crazy about you."
I smiled and shook my head. "You got the crazy part right." Chase took my hand, and it was then I noticed his was shaking. My cocky, always confident boss man was nervous. If it was possible, I fell a little more in love with him in that moment. I squeezed his hand, offering reassurance, and he steadied. That's what we did for each other. I was the balance to his unsteadiness. He was the courage to my fear. He continued,
"Maybe it wasn't a school bus or middle school, but I fell hard for you in the hall. That much I'm sure of. From the moment I saw your beautiful face light up that dark hallway a year ago, I was done. I didn't even care that we were both on dates with other people. I just needed to be closer to you in any way I could. Since then, you've distracted me every day, whether you're near me or not. You brought me back to life, and there's nothing I want to do more than build that life with you.
I want to be the man to look under your bed every night and wake up next to you in it every morning. You've changed me. When I'm with you, I'm myself, only a better version because you make me want to be a better man. I want to spend the rest of my life with you, and I want it to start yesterday. So please, tell me you'll be my wife, because I've already been waiting for you my entire life, and I don't want to wait anymore. I pressed my forehead to his as tears streamed down my face. You know I'm going to be even crazier once we live together, and probably even worse when we have our own family. Three locks might turn to seven, and doing my check in that big house of yours is going to take a long time. It might get old and tiring. I don't know if I'll ever be able to change any of that. Chase reached behind me and bunched my hair into his hand, cupping it along with the nape of my neck.
I don't want you to change. Not any of it. I love everything about you. There's not a single thing I'd change if I could.
Well, except your last name.
This concludes Boss Man by V. Keeland, narrated by Maxine Mitchell and Joe Arden. Copyright 2016 by V. Keeland. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with V. Keeland, care of the Rebecca Friedman Literary Agency, and was produced in the year 2016 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.